The reading is from Isaiah chapter 2, 1 to 5. And this can be found on page 686 in the Bible. The mountain of the Lord. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream into it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning books. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, there you see it. The pressure to play the game really well. Any chess players here? Could you identify with that? At the age of 13, I played my friend Mark Joss at secondary school in exactly that environment. Mark Joss wiped the floor with every single one of us. He knew exactly what was going on with every game, every individual, at every moment, and he won every game. And we all felt like losers, except we'd played our part in the game. Well, here we're not losers. We're invited into something completely different. But of course, if we are wanting to curate an image of playing the perfect game, the perfect plan of life, you know, you put the greatest photo on Instagram or X or whatever if the platform is you use, or perhaps you still send postcards that have been created for you because they're the best image with uncrowded beaches, or the greatest decor of your house that is only there when there's no rubbish out and no washing around, or a flawless relationship that's on wonderful image at 1 minute past 10 on a Sunday morning, but at 3 minutes to 10 as you drive there running late, it's not quite going so well, my friends. Because behind the scenes, our plans fall apart, our expectations crumble, and our life literally one day becomes dust. And so what we project as our game plan rarely matches what we're feeling inside here. And this is the space for that honesty this morning. Because what do? I know what we do. We wait for the great game to come round to us again, and in the meantime, we plan. Why do we plan? Because planning puts us in control. Or so we might think. I want to share with you, friends, this Advent, what real planning looks like from the beginning of that book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. To put our plans into the perspective of God's wonderful plan. You may know it, you may have lived through one or two Advents in your life. You may have seen many candles lit, and it's still alight, by the way. Very good. But here today, let's just reconsider the plan. Let's figure it out together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at this wonderful plan this morning, this Advent that has shaped the world ever since, may you now come to reshape our lives as we plan with your perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. As I share this with you, I speak to myself this morning. I've spent the last week nearly 24/7 in East Surrey Hospital over near Hawley because my mother was rushed into hospital in Horsham from the ambulance to A&E for a long time, from A&E into resus and held in resus for a very long time, from resus to a high intensity ward, from a high intensity ward into a mid intensity ward. And at 2 o'clock this afternoon, I'm gonna pop in and see her. And I know she's doing much better, even though we were called in as a family, because she's now asking for Special K Kellogg's without milk. A message from my brother last night, as he said, she's back to normal, Simon. Sorry, Mum, if you're listening to this. But you see, I'm thinking, what's the world, the outcome that I was trying to create and control this week? Could I tell the medics how to deal with my mother? My game plan fell apart. My planning fell apart. My perspective fell apart. My presumptions of the continuity of life fell apart. And I was left with the plan of God in my life and my mother's life. And so the wonderful plan, did it fall apart in that moment at the highest pressure point of life? Well, you see, firstly, I had to remind myself that as we look at the game plan that we create, that our lives are already under relentless pressure. It's just that we're hiding it below the veneer of what we call normality. We can direct our career pathway. We can look at financial survival. We can put money into our pension. We can wonder how we're going to organize ourselves. We're going to keep our health maintenance going. We can make sure that our relationships feel stable. We can think that the church is going to continue as it has been, because that's what it's been like for me. But plans are not aesthetic holiday moments, friends. Plans are survival strategies that need adaptation in the heat of the moment. And the heat of the moment is Isaiah being told by the Lord, these are your last days. That, if you don't know, the Old Testament message of the judgment is coming. The comment of God on life and eternity will be coming. And here is the advent of the message of the plan that there will be a salvation and a single Saviour. The last day is upon us. And so how are your plans going for Christmas? Perhaps you know where you're going already and what you're doing and who you've got round and which crackers you've got. But often, I wonder if you've planned for the moment where there will be a full-blown argument. I wonder if you're planning for Great Aunt Maud to come and visit you. Do you have a Great Aunt Maud in your family? She's not real, she's fictitious, but let me paint a picture of your Great Aunt Maud and mine. She's here, she's small and wizened, and she speaks her mind on everything. And she's seen all the news, and she's read all the cracker jokes beforehand, and then rewrapped them, and then will break all the children's cracker jokes before they can share them. Great Aunt Maud might spoil Christmas, but have you planned for that spoiling that's coming? Have you planned for Great Aunt Maud to turn up and disturb your Christmas? Had I planned for my mother to be taken to A&E and disturb my plans? Or are my plans ready for the plan of God within the circumstance, not despite it? I used to be a vicar in Crawley in West Sussex, and it was a very different context to Godalming, where we lived. It was an estate ministry. And there was one friend that, this was in the early days of the internet, he had a chess buddy. And he would plan his next move, and they would have one move every 30 days. And they would phone each other, and they would do the move. And he had a board on the wall in his kitchen where they had them all on magnets. And he would say, and the friend would say, well, you move that to that. 30 days later, my friend Ian would phone and say, and here is my next move. Full of good preparation. But you see, my friend Ian had never met the other person on the other end of the phone. They never met. But they knew each other's way of doing things because they studied carefully. And Isaiah is inviting us now in Advent to study well and study carefully, to prepare well for the last day when it comes, and it's coming now. And so the first thing I'd like to say is, whatever your plan is, do keep it. But do ensure that it's within the framework of God's plan. That the last day is upon us. And it is an invitation to be well prepared for him. And then the second thought I'd like to say is about presumptions. Isaiah's vision in verses 2 and 3 is of the largest ever hope you could ever imagine. Or in my friend Ian's image, perhaps, that he wipes the board with the Grand Master, which never happened, because the other player was always better than Ian. But you see, Isaiah's vision is of a larger hope that no matter what the circumstance, you will always be able to speak with a positive understanding of who Christ is. You know, Isaiah's world was not at all polished either. Isaiah's world, just to give you a context, is politically there had been utter turmoil. The norms of understanding of what the world was like had been completely turned on the head. There were upstart kingdoms coming. There were people invading other countries when they hadn't been invited to do so. There was widespread fear of invasion, political instability, shifting, unstable economics, of decay and decline, and a restructuring of what was a known world order. In the social context, there was marked inequality. The rich were getting richer. And if you look at some of the other minor prophets, the poor were crying out to God for salvation and justice. The wealthy were openly exploiting the poor, and leadership was failing in its very basis of doing the right thing in the right way at the right time. Urban centres were growing and outgrowing their water supplies and their ability to continue as they had been used to. So the social fabric was just beginning to fray. In the religious context, there was compromise. The way of looking to Yahweh, to God, had been being shifted. And it had been slow and it had been subtle. And prophets like Isaiah were calling a return to covenant faithfulness, and the ethical behavior did matter. And against this backdrop, we have Isaiah 2, 1 to 5, who says, whatever it is today, whatever your emergency that you're hiding in your life, you are in the last day. I don't know about you, but that gives me a freedom. As I stood over my mother, she was unconscious. I won't go into the detail because that's confidential. But a very senior medic came to talk to us. And the medic was saying, basically, we will not resuscitate. That we will not resuscitate. No invitation. And we said, thank you, because that took the decision out of our hands. And I just turned to that medic and I said, and part of the reason is, I didn't have this on, part of the reason is because we know where she is going. And this medic sort of did this. And a huge smile came over her face. And I thought, you know what I'm talking about. You know that I know that we're in the last days. And we're all in hands together. And so to move our perspective into the perspective of God, who has a plan for the future that involves you today, is one that is so wonderfully hope-filled. You are hope people. This is a hope church. And then thirdly, from plans and perspectives to presumptions. The presumption of Isaiah is that this is the word of God, the divine word of God, and it is uncomfortable. But being uncomfortable, it shifts us into saying we now have Advent hope. that there is so much more for us at this moment and time. I wonder if you know the hymn. I bet you're going to sing it, the carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Now, I have to admit to you, it's my favourite carol. If you sing it, I will return, just to warn you. But it was written in 1867, and I think it's really helpful to understand, in a sense, in a modern sense, what Isaiah was saying about presumption. It's about a radical reversal of the normal. It was written in 1867 during the midst of the Great Reform Act. There was huge unrest after an uprising in Ireland, in Southern Ireland, it was then. And we, CPS, when we say we work in the UK, we also involve Ireland. Very important to us, because we were formed in the 1830s. And there was huge instability politically between Disraeli and two really big heavy hitters politically. And there was this, people didn't know what was going on in the urban environment. Can you see the comparison to Isaiah? And maybe the comparison to today. And in the midst of that, we have that wonderful carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Such hope, such peace, to move our presumption into the birth story of Christ. That is what Isaiah is doing through the Word of God. Friends, Advent doesn't only mean coming. Advent comes from the Latin for Adventus. And you may know that Adventus means when the Caesar would return in triumph and go through the triumphal arch in Rome and would present that the campaign was now coming to an end and was over. Adventus was a great moment of victory over all that had gone wrong before. Adventus was a returning, a coming home, of saying that I am back, like the king taking their move on the chessboard. Advent is not merely prepare, it's not merely come, it is I have returned. I have returned for you. Your perspective can be lifted. You can have hope in the most hopeless situation. Your plans can be reshaped even today into the plans of the work of the Almighty God. And in doing so, you can have presumptions that say, God is with you. Christ is with you. Friends, let's close by just considering three things. Just in a moment of quiet. What is the plan of all plans that you would now bring Christ? What is a presumption that you arrived with this morning that can be lifted by the hope of Jesus Christ? And thirdly, what is one perspective that Christ would have you to take out of this door into Guildford and beyond in the days to come? A perspective to take home. Let us pray. God of wonder and wisdom, in Isaiah we have the unfolding plan of your intervention. You are building a heavenly home for us, and now bring that peace home into our lives. Into the brokenness, bring wholeness. Into the darkness, bring light. Help us to walk with hope this Advent, with a perspective of joy, to live with hope, to share your peace. Lord Jesus, welcome home into my life. Amen.